We're going to get started with our eighth commandment today. Thou shalt not steal. Now that means a lot of things, more than you know. And today, I think it's been like 2 years since Frank has spoken at least. Does that sound about right? You don't even remember the last time you were here. I think it was like on Ephesians or something. That's all I remember. It's at least 2 years, maybe 3 years since spring. So what was weird for me is getting an email from Mike this week to his small group and having to explain who Frank was. And it didn't dawn on me because Frank's been so much a part of TD for all these years. He's like, you know, if I'm Grandpa TD, he's Daddy TD. I mean, he's been here pretty long, you know. And so, just for those of you who don't know Frank, because Frank, you know, has the little cute guy that just went out the door, Ryan, and so he's been taking care of Ryan, and so Frank has been in and out of here, but you see him kind of slip in the back and leave, and I have to work through Ryan's schedule. But Frank has been in TD since 1989, is that about right? Wow. Does that sound right to you? 89 to 90, end of it. Mike says he was six, just to make you feel like me. Anyway, so Frank's been around a long time at TD. Some of you have him for 10th grade Sunday school, and I had the privilege of actually seeing Frank come to church for the first time, which was at a TD sports night event, and had a chance to see him come to know the Lord, and had a chance to disciple him and another guy named Evan Pan, who some of you might know, and had a chance to, you know, over the years I was more like a real big brother, I guess I would say, kind of mentor, big brother to Frank, and Frank went to UCLA and was core coordinator at ACF, etc., and you know, he's been doing a lot of things. Frank works in the financial services industry now. He's as a compliance director, which means everybody's real nice to him because he can kind of say, oh yeah? No. And sign up. So he's got that kind of power now. But what's been really neat about Frank is this, is that as long as I've known Frank, he's one of those guys that people always wonder, how did he know that? How did he know that? He's always looking and observing. And it's almost like he's got, you guys watch out when you talk, because it's almost like he's got your car or your home or your phone bugged or something. Because you guys think you're talking privately, and the next thing you know, Frank goes, hey, you know about, and he goes, how did you know that? He's just the way he is. But the reason he really does know this stuff is because he's in tune. And even when he's not here, or not participating actively, he's in tune and giving us observations because he does really care about people. And so one of the things, you know, Frank and I, we're not exactly the same in that way, but Frank likes to keep me down to make sure that when I'm teaching or when I'm leading or whatever, he likes to make sure he keep me relevant to people, make sure that I don't forget about the person. And he's always got the angle of thinking, well, how does this person feel about this? How would he take it? And very in tune with how it might rub someone the wrong way or whatever. So I appreciate that because it's been a good balance for me and good opportunity for me to keep myself in check to make sure I don't go off into the stars and not take make sure I take you with me and we're in the same ship when we go out there. So that's been a big asset for us through the years, as Frank has been very active and involved here. Frank is married to that lovely lady, I think, Kathy, yep, who's Mrs. TD. And so anyway, Frank has just been a real blessing. He's someone that I count as really one of my very closest friends and one of my dearest friends in life, and someone that I would actually trust with my life. So, just to let you know, if you haven't been around him, he's a dear friend of ours and a brother in the Lord. And so this will be like fresh because he's really never spoken in front of half of you guys either. So would you welcome my dear brother and your teacher for today, Frank.
Thank you. thank you, Arthur, for the very nice introduction. Yeah, very, very undeserved, but appreciate it nonetheless. Okay, today we're going to spend a lot of time in small groups. Okay, so what I want you guys to do is to break up now, so we're not going to do them in the middle. So if you can break into your small groups, I don't know where the leaders are, Leaders, if you can just kind of pull your groups close to you. So go to where your leader is. If you're with another leader, spread out some space. Father God, I want to thank you for the opportunity to come together in this sweet fellowship, Lord. We're grateful to you, for you are our God, and you're the author of all of this. And so we're grateful, Lord, that we can come with our brothers and sisters, be able to fellowship, be able to enjoy this company, but more so, Lord, be able to enjoy you in our midst. And so we just pray that you would be with us, Father, as we spend time together talking and looking at your word and Father, just be able to appreciate, Father, your wisdom and your law, and Father, how it might apply to our lives. So we thank you, Lord, and pray all this in your name. Amen. So the eighth commandment, I memorized it. Okay, Exodus 20, 15. Took some time. Okay, I'll recite it for you. Do not steal. All right? You are too kind, too kind. Because of the simple nature of the verse, it's very easy for us to gloss over it, right? I mean, do not steal. It doesn't really get much simpler than that, right? It's very obvious. Don't take what's not yours, right? The end. That's closing prayer, right? That's about it. Even my 2.5-year-old son, Ryan, knows that stealing is not good, right? Right now, if he's playing with something and you take it away from him, he's gonna say, "Mine, mine, mine, give back, mine." Yeah, see, he's looking at me. See, he knows. Okay, even a 2.5-year-old knows this law, right? Do not steal. Do not take what is not yours. But as I started looking into it more, I realized it's more complicated than that. Okay, there's more depth to it. And we can't just look at the surface. So I started kind of doing some research, looking at, you know, some definitions, some basic stuff. So I'll read to you just some, from the Merriam-Webster's online definition of the word steal. All right, there's three here. The first one is to take the property of another wrongfully and especially as a habitual or regular practice. Okay. The second is to come or go secretly, unobtrusively, gradually, or unexpectedly. And the third one is to steal or attempt to steal a base. All right, so those are the three definitions of the word steal according to Webster's. And there's a lot of synonyms to it. Okay, there's pilfer, filch, purloin, you know, all these other digital definitions to add weight to and depth to and nuance to the meaning of the word steal. Okay, to pilfer implies to steal repeatedly in small amounts. Okay, to filch adds a suggestion of snatching quickly or surreptitiously, and to purloin is stresses removing or carrying off for one's own use or purposes. Okay, and so there's a lot of nuance to that word. It's not just don't take what's not yours. You know, there's a lot of different types of ways in which we do it. And as I thought about it more, you know, you think about it, the very first sin had to do with stealing, right? Had to deal with taking fruit that was not meant for Adam and Eve, right? And so it was there at the very beginning, this idea of stealing. From the verse itself, as you know, the word steal really relates to taking of property, okay? Stuff, things, okay? And so I want to get more. I want to understand more. You know, at being at USC, at USC for grad school, and John was there too. Mike was there as well. They can attest to this. Pretty much every day or every other day, okay, we got a mass email from USC saying crime alert. Right? You didn't get those? John, did you get those? Yeah. Almost every other day, they didn't care about you, Mike. But God loves you, so it's okay. But almost like every day or every other day, we got an email about a crime alert, some robbery, some burglary, someone stealing something, okay? Someone stealing a bike, someone robbed at gunpoint. You know, USC is in downtown L.A., pretty much south of downtown L.A., in a very tough neighborhood, okay? And so there's a lot of crime in the area. Okay, so almost every day we got emails. So we know that do not steal is really not as easy as it sounds, right? It seems like easy to follow. Don't steal. Right? It's not yours. Don't take it. But yet, crime in this area is very rampant. Okay, and even in legal terms, there's different definitions of stealing. Okay, there's the word theft. Okay, theft is a generic term meant to intentionally or fraudulently take personal property without permission or consent. Okay, and then there's larceny. Okay, larceny is crime of taking the goods of another person without permission, usually secretly, okay, with intent of keeping it. So you can't be like, just kidding, I took it and just messing around. You know, you're actually going to keep it, all right? There's robbery. Robbery is the direct taking of property, including money, from a person through force, threat, or intimidation. Okay, so there's another nuance to the idea of stealing. Then there's burglary. Okay, the crime of breaking and entering into a structure for the purpose of committing a crime. Embezzlement. Okay, embezzlement is the crime of stealing the funds of property of an employer, company, or government and using that money, you know, that's supposed to be entrusted to you for other purposes. And then one that's been in the news recently is fraud. Okay, the intentional use of deceit, a trick or some dishonest means to deprive another of his or her money, property, or legal right. Okay. Have you guys? We are all sinful. More proof that we are all sinful from birth. I try to use the word share more with him. Anyway, I'm losing my train of thought because my son is sinning over there. Fraud. Have you guys heard of the name Bernie Madoff? Yes? Some people heard, some have not? Okay. Bernie Madoff was the former non-executive chairman of the SEC, right? Or NASDAQ, NASD. Okay, NASDAQ, okay? The National Association of Securities Dealers. That's the regulatory authority, the regulating body, okay, of all securities dealers, okay, broker dealers and all that. Okay, so they had the job of policing the people who do investments. Okay, he was the chairman. He started his own firm, okay, and in doing so, he created this massive fraud, okay, of basically tricking people to invest money with him and using it for other purposes. Okay, and it turned out that fraud end up being $65 billion. Okay? And he recently got caught and put in jail. Okay? Anyone know how long? It was like 125 years or something longer than that. 125 years. This guy, if you see a picture of him, he looks like he's like 75? 80? He looks old, okay? And he got 2 life sentences for what he did. Okay, for tricking thousands of investors out of their money, out of their life savings, just store the people who lost their life savings to this guy. Okay, who now have to start over, go back to work. Okay, and so there's a serious and detrimental effects from this sin of stealing. Okay, and oftentimes it's born out of greed, okay, envy, okay, sometimes out of need. Kathy had put out on our doorstep, she got mailers for donations to different organizations, Salvation Army or veteran Veterans Association. So Kathy put together some donations, put into the bag. You know, they put it out in the driveway. The truck comes in the afternoon and picks it up. So you put it the night before, truck comes the next day, picks it up. Very next morning, Kathy gets ready to go out, bag's gone. Okay? And we know it's not the organization because they come in the afternoon. So by the morning, it's gone. Someone came in the middle of the night and took it. Okay? Hopefully, it's someone who's desperate enough that they're really in need, that they needed the stuff. You know, I mean, it was stealing and not much we could do. Nonetheless, sometimes out of need, and I'm hoping that's what it was. I don't know for sure. If anything, you know, at least that, we also know that people stealing just to go around to steal. Okay. I know that someone broke in recently to our neighbor down the street who got robbed. That really scared us, and we're like, oh, maybe we should get an alarm system for our house. I started like interviewing people to come and maybe potentially install an alarm system. Okay. So this thing is not that simple, right? If it were that simple, why have alarm systems? Why have security cameras? Right, you go to the bank. Have you ever been to the bank, people? There's like 100 cameras, like this direction, that direction here, like two cameras in one spot, and then around the cameras everywhere, right? Even at McDonald's has cameras, right? 7-Eleven has a lot of cameras, okay? And so we know this thing is something very serious. Again, people are very concerned about it. Okay, why does God tell us that we shouldn't steal? Okay, I mean to some degree you kind of go, it's obvious, right? That's just what it is. We shouldn't do it. I mean, it's kind of like almost common sense. But yet there's reason. God gives us reasons why we shouldn't steal. As you know, I think Arthur's talked about it more than once, but the last six commandments were really related to how us as human beings should work with together, should relate to one another. Okay, our duty to each other, right? That's our responsibility. And there are a couple of verses that I looked at that I thought really kind of gave us an idea of why God told us that we shouldn't steal. Okay, why tell us not to steal? If you turn to Ephesians 4:28 with me. Let me read that for us. Ephesians 4:28. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Okay. One of the reasons God tells us not to steal is that we should be working on our own, for our own. I mean, God instituted that, when Adam and Eve had sinned. Okay. He instituted the idea of us having to work, by the sweat of our brow, okay, to go work in the fields, to bring in food, to survive, okay, that we might not have to steal, and that we might be able to give to others. This is that idea of our how we relate to one another. Okay, Romans 13, 8 through 10. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Okay? We are to love one another. Love does no wrong to his neighbor. We are not to steal from our neighbor. Okay? And so this purpose of not stealing is to love our neighbors. Proverbs 30, 7 through 9. Two things that I've asked of you. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, that I may not be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord, or that I not be in wanton steal and profane the name of God. Okay? That I may not be in want and steal and profane the name of God. That I would not defile the name of God. That I would not debase the name of God. That I would not dishonor the name of God. Okay? That by doing so, we defile His very name. And so God gives us several reasons why we need to do this. You know, within the commandments, it's really to love our neighbor, to do the right thing, to do unto others as you have to do unto us. Right? And very much so, in the same way, it demeans the name of God Himself by us acting this way, by violating His law. Okay? And so the question is, how does this relate to us? Does this really affect us as Christians? I mean, you know, we're not thieves, right? Anyone here, hopefully not, rob a car recently? You're probably not. Did someone break into a house and, you know, take all their stuff? Hopefully not. Okay. You know, show of hands. Anyone here steal every day? Anyone here steal every day? No one? Not one person? No one steals here? Okay. So, how is this relevant to us? If it doesn't apply to any of us, no one here steals, why does this apply to us? I think the reason why we feel this way is because we're applying man's standard. Okay, we're applying man's standard to this idea of stealing. Okay, we're not applying God's standard. Okay, when we apply God's standard, then we have a lot bigger hurdle that pretty much we can never overcome. Okay? It's funny, we've been talking about this in our Sunday school class. Okay? We look at God's holiness, and then we look at man's, 10th graders, sinfulness, okay? When we apply man's standard, okay, to ourselves, to our daily lives, what we're doing is, we're doing one of two things. We're trying to obscure these two things, okay? We're trying to obscure how holy God really is, that He doesn't really care that much. That maybe He doesn't have to uphold His law as much as he says He has to. Maybe He could let things slide, okay? So we try to kind of push God's holiness down, right? At the same time, we try to diminish our sinfulness. We try to say, you know what, is that really that bad? Is it really that big of a deal? Maybe it doesn't really matter. Okay? Maybe it's not that big of a deal and, you know, and I forget about it. I start kind of living this way consistently. It kind of goes out of my mind and I don't think about it as much as I often as I should, and it becomes second nature. Okay? And then we start letting things slide and slide and slide. Okay? Or it becomes maybe not a sin to us at all. Okay? And in doing so, we kind of go, this is where the world lives. Okay? This is where the world lives. This is how they survive. This is how they make peace with themselves. Now, in their lives, the way they live it, okay, they are at odds with a holy God. And the only way to reconcile that for the sinful, unregenerate man is to say, God's not that holy, or I'm not that bad, and so I can live with myself. I can live with myself. I'm a pretty decent person. That's how we say it. Well, I'm a decent person. I'm okay. I'm not that bad. So really, you know, it's not that big of a deal. Okay, and then the lines start blurring. Okay, and that's where we get into trouble. So what I want you to do in your small groups right now, take maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes or so. I can think about again. It's the big things that we're not worried about, right? I don't think anyone here is struggling with, you know, stealing cars. I don't think anyone here is struggling, again, I'm not sure, but hopefully not. I'm not sure anyone's here struggling with, you know, robbing houses or creating investment frauds to bill people out of $65 billion, okay? I don't think these big, obvious things are things that we're struggling with. I think it's the little things that we're struggling with. I think the things that are not less obvious that we struggle with and that we don't really think about. Okay, so what I want you to do in your small groups right now is to take a moment and think about it. What are some things, okay, stuff, that we might still, in some way, steal today, okay, in our own lives. Can you just small group, think about it. Brainstorm a little bit, and we'll get back together and talk about it. All right, so do that now. We'll start from this side. I need a representative to stand with me next to this microphone. To come share what you came up with. And why don't you come on up? Someone come up from your group. All right, Kenny. So what'd you come up with? Come closer. Okay, say what?
Food.
Food?
Yeah.
Okay, how do you steal food?
When someone's not working, you take their prize.
Okay. Food? What else?
From our group?
Yes, from your group.
Oh, music.
Music, all right. What else?
Pencils.
Wait, say what?
Pencils.
Pencils how?
When you borrow a pencil and you forget to give it back, you kind of...
Okay. What else we got? Anything else?
Money.
Money?
Money.
Like, how?
What? Oh, by not paying people back.
Okay, good. Okay, anything else?
iPods?
iPods?
I don't know. Not like ouch. No, it's just the same stuff that gets stolen.
Oh no, like okay. I'm talking about us. Things that we that less obvious that we might be doing. Anything else?
I steal my school's network connection.
You're not supposed to be on it?
I don't know. No.
Maybe you should find that out. Okay, thank you, Ken. Okay, this group. Come up here. Alright, give them to me.
We said movie hopping.
Oh, good.
And hopping homework.
Ha. Okay. What else?
And we also have music.
Okay. Okay. Good. This group? Who's coming up?
Time?
Okay, in what way?
Like if you're late for something and people are waiting for you, or...
Okay, good.
Yeah. Plagiarism?
Plagiarism? How do you spell that?
G-I?
Funny spelling. Tools and supplies? Okay.
I'm making unfair deals.
Okay, explain.
Like selling something to someone and saying that, oh, it's good quality when it's really like 10 years.
So you're saying that we struggle with this as Christians? I'm just asking. Okay, so making bad deals? You hustle? You stole? Okay, what did you steal from your little brother?
Because, like, in his kindergarten class, during Christmas,
Okay. Repent. I'm sorry, steal what?
Steal basketballs.
Who steals basketballs?
Justin!
That's one of the definitions. Okay, last group.
Okay, I love very long jacket. We got time.
Okay.
I know. What we have there?
Yeah, it's okay.
Oh,
keep going.
Yeah.
Why? Why time?
Why time? Does Jack want to explain?
Oh, well, you know, I think how do you? Well, we steal time by, like, you know, talking to someone else or like trying to like spend time with someone else when they actually need to do something really nice.
Okay.
Or we could be stealing God's time, like doing something we want to do instead of something that God wants us to do. So we're just kind of like, okay.
Okay. We'll hold off on that one. We'll address that.
And then we also have God's glory.
Okay, we'll address that. We're talking about stuff right now. That's good. That's good. Keep that one for later. Anything else?
Stuff, we have ideas.
Okay.
Ideas.
Like how?
Like, oh, like you.
Yeah, sort of. Or like sometimes on like a project or essay, like you're like, oh, I like that idea that they had, you know. And then also we have movies. Oh wait, you know, that's on there too. Hair ties for girls.
Hair ties for girls. Okay. Repent. Repent. Okay, I'm not gonna put hair ties up here. I'm sorry, but that's a good one. Wait, you know what? I'll put it on. Ties. There's that. I know Ryan steals Kathy's ties all the time, so. Okay, good. This is a good list. So, there's a lot of stuff on here. Some interesting ones. Some things that I want to kind of highlight here. Music. Okay? Music, I think, is a pretty big one for a lot of you guys. Okay? You know, actually, Kathy had a friend who asked her, you know, Kathy had bought a CD, and someone asked her, oh, hey, you know, do you like the CD? She said, oh, yeah, it looks good. Oh, do you mind burning me a copy? I'll give you a blank disc. Okay. And Kathy was like, oh, okay. And then she didn't know how to respond, but, I mean, she knew it was wrong, but she was like, oh, it's a friend. And it's hard, right? It's like another Christian friend. We talked about it, we ended up saying, okay, why don't you buy her another copy of the CD and just give her the CD as a gift, okay? So we don't have to say, hey, you know, this is not right and it's copyright, it's stealing. We just bought her another CD and say, hey, you know what? And let her get the let her understand the message on her own, you know? This stuff about music, you think about it, it's not really that hard, right? There used to be you guys heard the program called Napster? Okay. It's not how it is now. Okay, Napster now I think is a actually legitimate file sharing site. But before, it used to be this rampant thing, you know, I think Mike probably was in the middle of it when he was in college. Not you specifically, but your generation is very rampant in college campuses. Napster was on everyone's computer, I think. I mean, it wasn't mine, but people would just take music, right, from each other's computers and without paying for it. Okay, it became a very big deal. And so we had a lot of high schoolers in TD doing it too, right? And, you know, it's kind of like, they're like, oh yeah, what's wrong? Everyone does it. Like, literally everyone does it. So what's the big deal? Well, when did stealing become okay? Right? When did stealing become okay? How did you get from it's not okay, do not steal, to yes, it's okay to steal? How did you get there? Okay, and that's this idea of man's sinfulness, right? It's us trying to diminish sin so that we don't feel that bad about it. So it's not that big of a deal. So we're still okay people. Okay? And what they call it? They call it file sharing, right? Sharing. Sharing is good, right? So we call it file sharing. Okay? They're still stealing, right? No matter what you want to call it. Okay? So is the threshold everybody does it, then that makes it okay? I think it's clear that that's not true, right? And so that's a case of us applying man's standard, right? If he does it, he does it, he does it, he does it, she does it, she does it, and everyone does it, then it must be okay. Okay? That's the way that our society has gotten to where we are today. Right? Where things in 50 years ago, even as far as, 20 years ago, would be like, no way, I can't believe that's, no. Now it's like, yeah, well, no big deal. Okay? I've actually lived through it. Arthur and I have actually lived through that, seeing things just not that long ago, things that were, you'd be shocked to hear about it. Even just from junior high kids. I remember when I was in high school, and I heard a junior high kid talking about sex, and I was like, junior high? Like, I can't believe that. When I was in junior high, no way we'd talk about that. And they're just talking about it freely as if, it's no big deal. And now, I don't know, elementary school kids are telling jokes about it. This is our society getting worse and worse. It's, you think it's okay, everyone thinks it's okay, and then we start doing it, and it becomes no longer a sin, supposedly. Okay? So music, I think, is a big deal. I think that's somewhere where a lot of people fall short. Another one, I like the movie hobby one. That's a good one. Okay, I think I've done that on the case. I think I've done that before, right? It's such a long time ago in junior high, but I'm sure I've done that where my mom drops me off at the theater and I spend all day there, and then, it's nowhere near as strict as it is now, and I'm guilty of it, okay? But that's the easy one, right? Go to one movie, nothing to do all afternoon or the weekend, so you go with your friends to another movie. Now to look back, was my integrity really worth $9? Right? Was my love for the Lord really worth $10? I've been through it, time and time again with a lot of different things. Okay? Is my integrity worth that? And I think, I remember Kathy challenged me on something once. I remember she's like, is that what it takes to buy your integrity? And I was like, oh, ouch. And then she really hit me. I can't remember what this is. I'm sure she remembers, but I don't remember what it was. But I remember her telling me what it was.
Parking?
So I paid it. But all of us, right, in some way try to justify these little things that we think is not that big of a deal. But it punches holes in our integrity, doesn't it? It punches holes in our character. It punches holes in our walk with the Lord. Another area that's more prevalent now, movies. Downloading movies. Now that bandwidth is so high, it's just a song, right? It's movies now. It's whole movies. Okay? We were at an event where it was all Christians, we're just hanging out, and a group of people, maybe a handful, were watching a movie on a computer. Okay, we're all hanging out. And we're like, oh, okay, didn't know what they're watching. It turned out, and then we're like, oh, I was talking to Kathy, and Kathy's like, oh, I want to watch. And then I thought about it, wait a second, that movie's still in theaters right now. How can that possibly be on that person's computer? Okay. So we said, okay, we're not going to watch that. All right. But we were at a Christian function. Okay. And we had a group of Christians watching illegally downloaded movie on their computer. Okay. That's how easy it is for these types of things to infiltrate our ranks and shut up our heads, our minds to it. Okay. And then defile. Okay. Profane the name of God by doing this. Okay. That's how easy it is. Software. Okay? Software. I remember an argument. People buy Microsoft Windows, the newest Windows version that just came out, or Microsoft Office. Microsoft Office is like $300, I'm not paying that. They make plenty of money. They don't need any more of my money, okay? One copy of Microsoft Office is not that big of a deal. Okay, plus I need to do my homework. How am I gonna do my homework and do well in school if I don't have Microsoft Office? I have to have it. My parents don't want to pay for it. So, hey, I know you have a copy. Can I borrow it and just put it on my computer? Is that okay? When does stealing become okay? Okay? It's not. That's part of the reason why me and Kathy, we started going all Macs. Because we're like, but people can't do that kind of stuff. You just gotta buy everything. So that it's easier. You don't have to worry about it. Think about it. Just pay for it. I bought my first copy of Microsoft Office when I turned to a Mac, but I'm guilty of it. When I was in high school, we were all guilty of it to some degree. Okay, I remember as Christians, we were guilty of it. Okay, deleted that stuff, took it off, not using it anymore. Okay, bought my own copy. Okay, those are some of the challenges where we got chinks in our armor, right? I don't steal. I don't rob banks. Right? I didn't go and break in that guy's house and steal their jewelry. Okay, great. But I steal software. I download music illegally. I download movies illegally. Okay? And there's some other areas that, you know, personal experience, you know, me and Kathy were at Shaka's, okay, and we're, you know, down the street, we're eating lunch. We ordered our meal, I ordered a drink, Bill came, Bill says, you know, blah, 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 didn't charge us for the drink, okay? Very easy to go, well, you know what, no big deal, it's just a drink, it's $1.50, right? What's the big deal, okay? But that one was easy. My wife was right there. Okay, for me to say, oh, let's just ignore it, would be like, you know, like, what are you doing, right? So easy, right? Oh, yeah. Hey, you know, waiter, you know, you forgot the bills for this. Okay, and he said, oh, you know what, don't worry about it. So, okay, cool. Like, you know, he actually gave it to us. Okay, so that was kind of nice of him. Okay. That same week later, okay, God said, well, that was a little bit easy, okay, for you. Because your wife was there, your kid was there, you were with friends. So, of course, you're not gonna fall into that kind of temptation. So, you know, let's Satan try to hit me again. That following week, I was at Chipotle. And I ordered my burrito, and I ordered a drink, okay? And then I came to the register, they rang them up, you know, like, have the Chipotle? It's like, right? And then you're out, right? So, got the register, ladies, like, bringing things, like, you know, super fast. She ran my burrito, I saw the price, I go, that doesn't look right. You know, it doesn't look like the right price. So then, split second, I'm like, am I going to get a free drink out of this? Right? And I go, miss, you forgot me to charge me for the soda. And she's like, oh, okay. And so she charged me for it. So I was like, okay, well, I didn't get a free soda out of it, but I left with a clean conscience, okay? So those are some of the things that are challenging, that can challenge us, right? Very easily. Everyday things for us to just go, oh, what's the big deal? I got a free drink out of it. I come here all the time, try to justify it, right? Or you go to some place, you get change back, and the change is more than what it's supposed to be, right? Do you stop and tell the person, hey, you know, you gave me too much change? Okay, those are easy ways that we don't always think about, but that's stealing, right? We try to justify it. That's the big deal, you know. I can save some money on the meal. It's overpriced anyways. Right? Is that really right? No. Is that really worth our integrity? No. Homework. Cheating. Plagiarism. Okay? I'm sure that's one that many of us, if not all of us, are guilty at some point in our lives. The occasional... Right? Okay? Just to see, hey, did they get the same thing that I got? Okay, even as innocent as you want to call it, okay, stealing answers that are not yours, right? Copying homework, plagiarism, stealing work that's not yours. Okay, that's something probably that a lot of us struggle with at some point. Once you get back to your small groups, okay, I'd like you to think about how you might commit this sin of stealing when you're at missions trips, Johnny and friends, retreats, that Saturday night before Sunday service. Okay? Talk in your group, think about it. How might you be committing a sin of stealing at those types of events? Here we go. Okay, what did your group come up with? Now, I thought this was a pretty relevant topic considering, you know, summer's coming up, these trips are coming up. Think about this in the context of you going to serve these areas. Okay, here we go.
Oh, I'm moving my family to plantation. That's kind of random. Okay.
Wait. Blueberry muffins? Okay.
In general, like stealing food.
Okay. Continue.
Like, yeah, and like.
Okay. Christian events.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Stealing
food from the cafeteria at Summer
Retreat, like ice cubes and ice cream.
Okay,
stealing food. And then stealing attention that should be focused on God, but we can never focus on other things, like filling our earthly relationships or sometimes being selfish, like, how does this retreat benefit me? So, like, how can I benefit others? Like, a Johnny and Friends or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
And then we also said time.
Time how? Okay.
Oh, and in addition to attention, we also have God's glory.
God's glory. Okay, how's that?
Okay,
God's glory is good. That's true. How do we steal God's glory? How are we stealing God's glory?
Going back to the attention and focus, like, let's say we do something that would seem good in the eyes of other people, like, on the outside of us, but really we're like, oh.
Okay, go ahead, it's okay.
But then we're saying, like, oh, we did all this good stuff, but instead it's really God working through you who actually did all the good things, not you.
Okay. Okay, good. Okay. Next group. Next group. Come over here. Come closer. Okay.
Not giving due attention to sermon or message, which is kind of attention-focused.
Okay.
Diminishing the body or church by selfish behavior.
Okay.
Stealing God's glory by bringing attention to yourself.
Okay.
Having ulterior motives, like hooking up with someone.
What? Okay. Sorry? Okay. Okay.
Treating retreats as a vacation.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Keep going.
George. By neglecting to give.
Okay.
And then.
We'll address that. Hold on to that one.
Oh, making musical worship a performance instead of a worship.
Okay. Okay. Screw.
Well, we included a lot of things that people already stole. And we also were talking and found out that, like, when you go to retreats and stuff, a lot of times people are, like, subsidizing part of it. So when we don't give all the focus that we should be, or we're not doing our job, we're stealing the people who sponsored it money.
Okay. Okay.
And, at retreats and stuff, when people are messing around, it steals each other's focus off of what matters.
Okay, good. Anything else? Good. All right. Last group. Thinking.
The
Okay, anything else different or?
Then we're left empty. Like deep down, we know that we're empty because only when God is glorified are we truly satisfied.
Okay. So. Okay, good. Anything else? So, try to summarize what Nathaniel said.
It's like shaming ourselves.
Okay. That's fair. Cheating ourselves.
Well, and that is feeling the joy of the Lord getting satisfaction from you as well. Yeah. I mean, when you kind of steal it yourself, then you rob him of having the satisfaction of what he just gave you or her.
Good. Father, Son. Okay, this is a very good list. Thank you. I find that, I've been in your position. I've been at retreats. I've been at missions trips. Saturday night before Sunday service. Making decisions about how I spend my time. Okay? And oftentimes forgetting the purpose of why I'm there. Forgetting why I've been called to serve this area. In particular, out of these categories, big categories, stealing from each other, right? You guys talked about us trying to, for instance, to worship, grandstanding, right? Being focused on yourself. Oh, what a great guitar player. He's so cool. I love when he leads worship, right? And doing a lot of, Okay. So trying to draw a lot. I mean, it's one thing again, you're excited to worship God. There's people who are, trying to perform a little bit, trying to garner some attention. We've got to be careful. That's a very fine line. It's a difficult line to walk, okay? But that's one example of us trying to steal attention for ourselves, okay? Other examples are when we stay up late at night, spending time talking, hanging out. I mean, you kind of say, oh, that's good, fellowship and worship, and that's, there are times when that really is good fellowship and true worship. But more times than not, it has nothing to do with true Christian fellowship. It's messing around, talking, or guys and girls walking off, hanging out late at night. And it's not only taking attention away from, the purpose of why you're there, it's taking attention away from God, right? It's taking attention away from, it's causing the person to focus on you instead of on why they're there. Okay? And then it's also, it's hard to focus when your son is crying. Okay. So, it is difficult, right, to focus on in those areas when you're trying to draw away attention. Okay. The other area we see is when you're stealing from those you're serving. Okay. If you're up late at night, messing around, the next morning, you have someone depending on you, right, who's particularly, like, things like Johnny and Friends, missions trips, which you teach VBS, where you go out to witness. If you're not all there with all your energy, all your enthusiasm, all your love, instead you're giving this, like, oh yeah, let's go do this. Is that really why you're there? Is that really why you took the time to go to serve, to mess around, and then to give your half-hearted service, to give half of why half of your heart to that person? Is that why you're called to go? Probably not, right? I mean, absolutely not. I'm sorry. Absolutely not. That's not why you're there. Okay? And so, when we think about that, we're really stealing from that very person that we're trying to serve. The person we're trying to bless, we're stealing from them. Because we're taking away from them what we have to offer, our full selves of what God has trying to offer through us. Okay? And then, as you said, you're stealing from yourself. We talked about that, right? We're stealing from the opportunity to enjoy what the Lord has to bring, right? Those opportunities, that one special moment that you get to spend with someone you're serving, or the one opportunity because you're there, you're thinking, and you're you're fully comprehending what's going on, that you're able to contribute something meaningful at that moment, that that person goes, aha, this person really loves me. This person really cares. I can really see Christ through this person. Okay, you're stealing from yourself that opportunity to be blessed. Not by the person, only by the person, but by God as well. And then you're stealing from God, right? You're stealing, as Arthur mentioned, you're stealing His joy, right? To see His children satisfied in Him, serving Him, loving Him, giving to Him, right? That when we do the things that He ordained, we're doing the things that He wants to do, we are blessed, and that pleases Him. We're robbing of that joy. Okay, and so we want to be careful of that. That Saturday night before Sunday service, you know, are we up till 2, 3, 4 in the morning doing something that we shouldn't be doing, as opposed to resting and being ready to worship the Lord the next morning? Okay, you know, I've been in high school. I'm guilty of it. I think Arthur's called me on that more than one occasion when I was in high school. Okay, me and Evan, right, watching SNL, whatever it might be. Arthur's hit us with that when we were in high school. And, you know, we felt really, I mean, it really made a lot of sense, right? If our job is to worship Him, enjoy Him forever, why are we spent, you know, up all night preventing ourselves from doing that the very next morning? Okay? So, we need to think about that, alright? These are ways in which we're stealing and we don't always recognize it. Okay? Due to time, we're gonna skip some of the small group. We're trying to go through some of these quickly here. Family. Okay? Stealing from our families. Okay, I'm not talking about stealing money out of your parents' purse, okay, or your mom's purse, okay? I'm talking about your attention, your love, your focus, okay? You know, I think about Ryan, and I think about myself when I was, you know, when I was, I think about Ryan now at this age, right? He always wants my attention. He's always like, you know, whenever I'm doing something else, he's like, oh, come, Dad, sit, come, sit, you know, play, go upstairs, play, right? All the time, he doesn't want to do anything by himself. Okay, and it's great. It's great. I mean, it's hard at times, but it's great that he wants my attention. He wants to be with me. He wants some time with me. Okay, and then I think to when I was in high school or junior high, high school, and I think I didn't really want to do that much with my parents. I never really wanted to give them that much time, and it makes me sad thinking that one day, inevitably, when Ryan becomes a teenager, he's not going to want me to be around that much. Hopefully, not as much as some. You know, maybe at least I can be involved in his life. But he's going to want to be with his friend. He's not going to be asking me to be with him every moment. As a matter of fact, he's probably going to want more privacy than anything else. And it's going to be very sad to me when that starts happening, that he's going to start not really wanting my attention anymore, not really caring. Oh, where's Dad? Right? When I come through the door, oh, Dad's there. He runs up to me, gives me a hug. You know? Now that you're in the position where you are at, when I was where you are, you know, you don't remember. Right? How much you love your parents, how much you want them to be there, how much, you know, how much joy you got from being with them. You don't forget to give back to them. We rob them of our time. Are you at home on the internet all day? Right? On your, whatever you're doing, chatting with other people, emailing, Facebook, you know, surfing the web. Are you playing video games all day? Okay? Are you robbing your families of your valuable time that you really need to be giving to them? Okay. Are you doing the things that you need to do to build your family up as God has blessed you with a family? Right? Are you doing those things? Okay? Or are you robbing them of that time? Okay? That they really deserve with you. Another example for me personally is Kathy. You know, after we moved out, you know, I gave my sister my old PS2. Okay? I know everyone's PS3, okay? PS2, old. Okay? I gave my sister, you know, we weren't playing with it anymore. Recently, my sister gave it back. Mom, like, packed it up and gave it back to me. She said, oh, you know, we don't want it. She didn't even play with it. So she brought it back, and it was sitting in our house for the longest time. And all of a sudden, one day, I was, like, bored. Kathy and Ryan were out, so I pulled it out. So, oh, you know, it'd be kind of fun to try one of the games again. Just reminisce a little bit. And, of course, I got stuck right back in and started playing it, like, every moment I got. This was about 2 days, okay? And then, you know, Kathy went to give Ryan a bath. I'd play, okay? After Ryan went to bed, Kathy was taking a shower, I'd play, you know. And then one day Kathy came out and said, you know, can you please put this away? You know, it's really, like, bothering me, okay? And I think when I was younger, I'd probably been like, you know, what's the deal? You know, I'm just playing video games, just trying to relax and unwind. But really what she was saying to me was, you're robbing me of your time. You're robbing me of my husband, okay? The time that we should spend together, you're investing in this. Okay, and that's not, you're stealing from me. essentially. You're stealing that time away from me. That attention, that love that should be given to her or to Ryan or in our home, whatever it might be. Okay? I'm stealing. And that was something that I just learned this past week, just thinking about it. You know, something that I did, and she said it. Luckily, I've grown to the point where after she said it, I packed it right up and put it away. Okay, you know, unplugged all the plugs, put it away, not going to open it again. Okay, but family, okay, oftentimes we steal from our family more often than we know, just by ignoring them on the weekends, coming home and vegetating on the couch, and not even asking, hey mom, hey dad, how you doing, okay, hey brother, hey sister, okay, what's going on with you, how are you doing, right, what's going on in your life, okay, they're people too, alright, and God has brought you, put you into this family for a reason. Okay? And you're meant to love those people. Relationships. We talked about this last week. Arthur talked about a lot. This idea of stealing from a future spouse. Right? And the way that you're dating a lot, messing around, relationships a lot of flirting. In many ways, you're stealing from that person who's going to eventually be your spouse. Right? I put it back to myself. I go, you know what? The way I behave, would I want to do that to someone else? Okay, meaning, would I have wanted some guy to have been dating Kathy and, you know, playing with her feelings and flirting with her, you know, throughout her life and have her, you know, thinking about this person, having this person in her life, and now I marry Kathy and now, you know, now she's mine, you know, I'm hers, and now there's all these other people kind of, you know, in a history, you know. So I think about that, I go, this is the way I need to behave. I need to behave the way I would want, you know, someone to treat my wife. Right, you talked about this last week, right? A little bit? I think you did. Yeah, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean. So, the key here is that we don't be stealing from people in this way, okay? Drawing to your attention is yourself in flirting. In many ways, one thing that I've kind of been big on is stealing attention away from God. In that, when you start dating someone, when you're not spiritually ready, when she or he is not ready, okay, in a lot of ways you kind of get in the way of what God's trying to do in that person's life. Right? Because you've seen relationships, right? You've seen what happens. And then, you know, they do everything together, they stop hanging with friends, it's very difficult, okay, for them to all of a sudden, it's difficult for someone who's spiritually mature to focus on God when they're in a relationship. Because now they're focused on another person. Okay? Particularly for guys. Guys like to do this. You know, look at me, you know, and try to draw the attention away from the girls. Look at me, girls. You know, like, I'm special, I'm cool, I'm quirky, I'm funny. And trying to get that attention and then trying to draw that attention away from God. Okay? Those are things in relationships. I'm not going to go too much relationships. We talked about that last week. Arthur talked about it. Finances. Okay. Something you're probably not going to deal with as much for a while, or for some of you for a while, but for some of the older folks quite a bit, is this idea of stealing from the government. Okay? And the biggest way is taxes. Okay? I'm not going to deal with it too much, I'm going to talk about it too much, but IRS came up with a statistic once that said that if no one cheated on their taxes, the government deficit would pay down within 1 year. Okay? Now, this is not probably this year, okay, but at least at one point, there's a point when it said no one should have taxes, the government deficit would be paid down in 1 year. Okay, and that's how rampant this idea of cheating your taxes is. Okay, something you'll face eventually, because as Arthur talked about, I think always two things are definite in life: death and taxes. Okay, and so taxes will come for you. They're actually there for you now. You just don't know it, but it will hit you, and you will be tempted. Okay, because there's a lot of ways to cheat your taxes. Okay, stealing from the church. Okay, when I mean that, specifically talking about tithing. Okay, there's a lot of struggle for particularly young adults who just start working, because tithing is 10% in a lot of people's minds, but really tithing is not just 10%; it's a lot more than that. Right? Tithing is actually never just 10%. That's kind of the minimum. Right? And people always ask, how much should I give? Right? And that question really means, what's the minimum I have to give? Okay? And that kind of heart, okay, of trying to give the minimum is stealing from God. Okay? It's not given with joy. It's not given with the kind of obedience that God is looking for. Okay, and for many of us, it also talks about the lack of trust that God's going to provide for us. Okay, that by trusting Him, giving to Him, in supporting the church, supporting and giving to the Lord, He's going to provide for us, and we're not going to have to worry about that stuff. Okay, that's the idea of stealing from the church. Okay, and again, for you who are younger, those things you're going to face one day, but be aware that's out there. Okay, another area in finances is stealing from yourself. Stealing from yourself. Okay, and that's, you know, on two sides of the same coin. On one side, it's overspending. Okay, overspending on things that are unnecessary, that are, you know, just unwise. Okay, you're stealing from yourself. You're stealing from, you know, saving for the future, saving for future use that you should be using that money for. You're stealing from yourself. On the flip side, okay, you can be stealing from yourself by being really, really cheap, okay, and not spending money on certain things that you should be spending money on, and making life miserable for your family or whatever it might be, okay. Stealing that from that certain amount of joy from doing certain things that are, that money should be spent on for the sake of blessing your family or whatever it might be. Okay? And so those are things in finances. Now, again, you're probably struggling with finances as much, but you know, I wanted to mention those things. The last thing that I want to hit is this idea of stealing from God. And we've already talked about a lot of those things here. Okay? And even the commandment itself, do not steal. Okay? There's a commandment meant for our relationship with one another, with human beings. But very much so, this idea of not stealing applies in many ways to how our relationship with God should be lived. Okay? Our life is not our own. It was purchased with a price. Right? Our life is not our own. It was bought. Okay? It's bought by God. As Christians, we are bought. Okay? And every moment that we're not living for Him, every single moment that we're not living this life for Him, we are stealing from Him. Okay? This is not our life. This is not our own life. We don't own it anymore. Right? It's His life. So every moment that it's not captured for His glory, for His honor, for His sake, we're stealing it from Him. Right? We're stealing that moment from Him. It's not ours. Okay? Every moment we're trying to live life on our own terms, it diminishes what God has done. Every time we tolerate one of these sins we've been talking about, okay, it diminishes God's holiness. It diminishes man's sinfulness. And it diminishes really what's meant to bridge this gap, right? That's Christ. Okay? The things that we aren't supposed to, this is not meant to be bridged by this diminishing, this tolerance of sin in our lives. Okay? Okay? It's meant to be lived for Christ. And so, in many ways, you know, we forget that we are stealing from God almost daily, if not daily. So I guess I want to ask again, show of hands, okay, who here steals every day? Okay. I think it becomes more obvious if you look at it more closely that there are a lot of things that we do in our life that we don't really think about, that are really kind of poking holes in our integrity. That we're boldly proclaiming that we're Christians, that we live for God's glory, that we obey His commandments, that we're like very much the rich young ruler, right? The rich young ruler who said, well, God, you know, what do I need to do to earn my way to heaven? You know, God said, do this, 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 and this. Follow the commandments. Love your neighbor. I do all that stuff. You know, very quick to proclaim, I do all of that. And then God catches him right away where it hurts, right? Where it's going to hurt him, where it's going to challenge him. Okay, he leaves. Don't be so quick to answer and think, hey, I'm a pretty good person. You know, I'm a Christian. I go to church. I help my friends. I go to fellowship. I serve in some way. You know, I help with the kids. I go to Johnny and Friends. I'm a decent person. Okay? When we do that, okay, when we forget who we're living for, when we forget what we've been saved from, when we forget God's holiness, okay, start trying to diminish things. Start diminishing the things that we do. Okay? We start stealing from God. We start stealing from God the glory, the amazing grace that He gave to us. We start forgetting by telling us ourselves, I'm a pretty decent person and I think I'm okay. Okay. We need to acknowledge, you know, that we are hardcore thieves. Okay. we're worse than any thief. Okay? And that we of all people cannot ignore the command, do not steal. As a matter of fact, something we need to adhere to and honor every day. Okay? Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the wisdom of your word, Lord, that sometimes things that seem obvious to us, Lord, are not as obvious as we thought. And Lord, when we challenge ourselves and try to examine a little bit more in our lives, the areas where we might fall short, Lord, it becomes a little more clear, Father, that we are not all we are cracked up to be. We are not as great as we tell ourselves to be, Lord. Father, help us, Lord, to continue to be challenging ourselves in the way that we live our lives, trying to refine our character, taking away the things that can poke holes in our character and our integrity, that challenge the way things that we say and the way that we live. Lord, we know that we try to steal from you every day a little bit here and there, Lord, trying to live life on our terms, the way that we want to live it, believing, Lord, that we have some sort of control here, Lord. Father, we pray that you would help us to never forget who you are, Lord, how majestic, how glorious, how wonderful your name is, Lord. And Lord, that in light of that, everything we do falls way, way, way short. And Lord, that we can only come humbly every day seeking for your strength, for your will, for your plan, and for the ability to live in accordance with you, Lord, to live a life as worthy of the calling you've given us, the grace that you've given us, the life you've given us. Remember that, remembering, Lord, that this life is not our own, and it's for your sake, Lord. Help us to obey and constantly hold close to our hearts your law, Father, and your word. We thank you, Father, and pray in your name. Amen.